ABC Radio Australia.
A new study has found that Solomon Islands and Vanuatu are best placed to survive a nuclear apocalypse. Joining me now to find out why is the researcher behind that study, Professor Nick Wilson from the University of Otago. Good morning to you, Professor Wilson.
Good morning.
So, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, among the best places, best islands to survive a nuclear apocalypse. Why exactly is that?
Well, we did a study of 38 island nations around the world to determine which would be best placed to survive a nuclear war. And we found actually that Australia and New Zealand ranked the highest, but following them were Solomon Islands and Vanuatu. And that's because of their southern hemisphere location in the tropics, where nuclear winter effects may produce smaller impacts in terms of reduced temperature. But those particular islands also have rich volcanic soils, and they produce more than enough to feed themselves. In fact, they both of them export copper, and Vanuatu also exports fish and beef, and there's also palm oil exports. So that level of self-sufficiency would be critical in this type of disaster. Mm-hmm. But we also looked at a range of other factors, and although things like energy self-sufficiency are not that high in these islands, because of their subsistence agriculture, they're far less dependent on imported fossil fuels. So they can, you know, run their agriculture without complex machinery.
Oh, very interesting. What do we mean when we say nuclear apocalypse, though, Professor Wilson? What does that mean? What impacts will it have? You said the southern hemisphere will be good in such a situation. What situation is that exactly?
So we looked at a range of different scenarios, but all of them involve a northern hemisphere war with burning cities that push soot up into the higher atmosphere, which can block the sun even in the time span of 5 to 10 years. So that would be really catastrophic, especially for crop production in the northern hemisphere. So it's a terrible situation where billions of people could starve. But in some places, like the tropics in the southern hemisphere, that impact is less. And so although island nations would have some reduced sunlight, their crop production and their fisheries wouldn't be so severely harmed. So they'd be able to manage.
Mm. I mean, this sounds like, a sort of apocalypse, as we were calling it, nuclear apocalypse. How likely is this situation? It sounds something out of a science fiction movie.
Well, it would be good if it was just science fiction, but unfortunately, the geopolitical situation in the world is fairly serious. And, you know, we've seen threats to use nuclear weapons associated with the Ukraine war. But also the 9 countries with nuclear weapons seem to be both modernizing their weapons arsenals, but some are also expanding the actual overall size of the arsenal. So overall, it looks like the risks, even though they're quite low every year, may be increasing. And it's something that, you know, the world urgently needs to intensify nuclear disarmament to reduce this risk.
Mm. Now, it's interesting that you found, as you said, countries with lower technological availability, countries like Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, and we'll come to Australia and New Zealand soon, who I also know are on the list, that they'd be the ones that fare well in a nuclear apocalypse. But I imagine powerful countries, you know, often when there's disasters, we talk about inequalities, and that it's really the powerful countries with more money, more ability to create technology to support themselves that end up winning out. Why isn't it the case in this situation?
Well, technology requires imports, and often those things are imported. So, mm-hmm. in a country like New Zealand, its agriculture is very efficient, but it's dependent entirely on imported diesel, a lot of imported fertilizer, seeds, and machine parts. And the advantage a place like Vanuatu has is that a lot of that is being replaced by local crops that people have owned for many generations and their seeds, and also the just human power is doing much of the agriculture, and the techniques of fishing are often very dependent on local knowledge and skills and things. And so a lower tech society could help in this type of disaster because people are already used to living in a lower tech way.
Yeah, very interesting. I guess that's a good point for our listeners there on the islands. You know, sometimes we want to welcome the technology and the globalization and all the opening of international markets. But in a nuclear apocalypse, at least, it's good to be low tech. But I understand in your study, Nick, there were a few other countries that topped the list. Australia, New Zealand, and Iceland, I believe, actually fared better than Solomon Islands and Vanuatu. Why is that looking? Because I imagine they do have high tech and a bit more, tapped into the global markets. Why are they still able to survive a nuclear apocalypse?
Well, their high tech sophistication allows them to be very major food producers, particularly Australia. And Australia also has the advantage of energy self-sufficiency and critical liquid fuels. And Iceland is also very high tech, and it's able to get a lot of food from its large fisheries. So they're sort of special factors. But in terms of the Pacific, there is a particular advantage there of the collective culture that may be able to manage such a terrible disaster much better than the more The New Zealand culture is, it's got some social cohesion, but it's not as strong as you would see in Pacific nations. So there are vulnerabilities for both Australia and New Zealand in terms of things like social cohesion and how they'd adapt to making the big shifts needed, even though they've got high levels of current export production of food and a lot of fossil fuels.
Interesting. I guess we need a nuclear apocalypse to actually test out these theories. Well, let's hope it doesn't quite happen. But speaking of those other Pacific countries that might be more resilient, as you mentioned there, why are only Solomon Islands and Vanuatu mentioned on your list? I imagine other Pacific islands also share, community cohesion and low-tech, self-sufficient communities as well.
Actually, Indonesia and the Philippines, we're not far behind those countries. They're nearly self-sufficient in smaller level nuclear winter scenarios. But a big problem with many Pacific Islands is the dependence on food imports, especially those which are coral atolls and don't have the sort of very rich volcanic soils that Solomon Islands and Vanuatu have, which allow them to produce more food than they need and to actually export food. So it really comes down to if a country is able to produce a lot of food.
Now, we're talking about nuclear apocalypse here, but most of the time when we talk about the Pacific and existential disasters, we're talking about climate change. And what's interesting in your study is that you're saying these countries might be called on to help reboot a collapsed human civilization in the case of a nuclear apocalypse. But considering the impact of climate change, are we sort of eroding, are we potentially destroying humanity's only hope of survival?
Well, that's right. We're faced with multiple threats, and we've got to address climate change, but we also have to address the risk of nuclear war and other types of threats like new pandemics. Mm. So, the world is facing a difficult time, and they have to actually, countries have to work together and unfortunately have to address all these type of problems because they're potential threats in the future, but particularly climate change.
Yes, yes. Professor Wilson, considering that, what do you hope that comes out of your study looking at what countries fare better in a nuclear apocalypse?
Well, I think there's a lot of areas with these catastrophes where there's win-win solutions, where things can be done to address climate change, but also increase resiliency for other types of disasters, including just severe cyclones and so on. So if we can shift electrical grids to run on renewable energy and improve housing and improve food supply to everyone, that's going to just help with a wide range of disasters and catastrophes. So we need to look for those things which are good to do anyway and which will also help reduce carbon emissions.